Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
God is good. All the time. Didn't expect to see me, did you? Want to welcome everyone to the First United Methodist Church of Brighton to Whitmore Lake. Also want to welcome the online viewers. We're glad you're all here. My name is Bruce Stark, and I'm going to be your worship host. We have a message coming today from Lynn, and she's going to do a very good job, and I'm just her kind of warm-up act. So we're just going to give her a little break and announcements and stuff. We also have Rose Bledsoe is going to be one of our worship leaders, and we always have Susan Kimball, who's going to be doing the music. This is a church that wants to know God, love God, and serve God. One of the ways that we do that is through the connection card. I want you to fill out the connection cards. Always remember, these connection cards, we see them every week, so we think, well, I really don't have to do it. Yes, we would prefer you do it, so number one, we know you're here. And we also want you to look at the back, because the back is always changing. And there's places that you might be interested in that you didn't know about before. So always check the back of the connection card and do that. And that way you can stay informed. Then you might know that I'm going to be up here. But then again, I didn't know I was going to be up here, so that don't matter. But we also have, this is a praying church. We have prayer cards in the back of the pews. Fill out, if you have prayer concerns, please fill them out. And then the church will pray for them. I want to invite the kids to go to Sunday school in the nursery. And I do have a few announcements. Just think, they asked me to talk. First one's fish and loaves. Contact Deborah Sharp if you can help out with the food or the volunteering at the dinner. The fish and loaves is going to be next week, August 25th. And any help that you could give Deborah, she would appreciate. Following announcement, Bounce Back Sunday. Backpacks, Bibles, and Bounce Houses, Sunday, September 8th. Bring your backpacks to church for a blessing during the worship. Also, will be kindergarten and third grade will be receiving a Bible, and then we can go out and enjoy the Bounce House. I don't think I'm going to go inside. I think that would be a little bit scary for everybody. And hopefully the kids will put their Bibles away before they take them into the Bounce House. Finally, the Scrap Metal Drive is September 7th. Bring your metal down. The Redbird Mission makes quite a bit of money off it. They work very, very, very hard at it. I've seen them work at it, and I don't know that I'll ever go to Redbird because I don't think I can work that hard. But they do a nice job with your metal, so bring your metal down, and they will take that, and they will turn that into funds that will help finance the Redbird trip. And with that, I think I got them all. I don't think I missed anything. If I did, you probably heard it before anyway. So with that, please rise and sing our first hymn, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. I think we're short of 1,000, but we'll go with it.
Thank you. Let us join together now in the opening prayer. Lord, we seek your presence in our worship and in our lives. Be with us each step we take. Help us to keep our focus on you in each moment that we live. We carry our joys and our sorrows to you, and we ask you to lead us through each day with grace. Please be seated. Be seated. First scripture reading this morning is from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people. Our second reading is from Jeremiah, chapter 29, verses 11 through 13. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me, if you seek me with all your heart.
Well, it's good she didn't do the word of God to the people of God, because I'm going to start with another scripture, so we'll do it then. It's perfect. So I have one more scripture I wanted to share with you. It's from Luke chapter 2, which is that same chapter in the Bible where we hear the wonderful Christmas story. But it involves a couple of people that we don't hear about very often. All right, so from Luke chapter 2, it's selections. When the time came for their purification, they brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. So, guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." And then Simeon blessed them. And there was also a prophet, Anna. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer day and night. At that very moment, she came, and she began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. My friends, these are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, this scripture about these two elderly people, it's interesting because it's sandwiched in between the stories of the birth of Jesus, and the story that comes right after it is the story about when Jesus was 12 years old and he goes to the temple. You remember that one. And so here we have this wonderful intergenerational moment when the God who had been working quietly in the lives of two very devout people for more than 80 years, that God disclosed to them, and they were able to share with the world that the same God who had been with them always through all those 80 years was now doing a new thing through the birth of this baby Jesus. You know, throughout the scriptures, we find that there are aging people who are being called by God to do important work. There was Abraham and Sarah, you remember them, and Zechariah and Elizabeth, and even Moses. In Moses' case, we see a full lifespan of a person who was protected and prepared by God as a child. Remember the basket and the bulrushes? And then, years later, was called to do very difficult work for 40 years with an aging body. Now, questions about what an aging person can or cannot do is on the minds of many people right now, isn't it? It's been on our minds lately. Who knows why, right? You may have watched the changes and the challenges of aging being faced by aging family members, by friends, and even some of our national leaders. Perhaps you have noticed them in your own body. I know I have. There are things like declining vision, declining hearing, weakening muscles, forgetfulness. Ah, that one started a lot earlier, right? Yeah, and the brittling, I made that word up, it's brittle bones, but I thought it was more interesting to say brittling bones. So, here's a poem about forgetfulness. It's by Billy Collins, who was the poet laureate of the United States, and he is describing what forgetfulness feels like. The name of the author is the first to go, followed obediently by the title, the plot, the heartbreaking conclusion, and finally the entire novel. This is why Gary and I can watch TV shows over and over again. which suddenly becomes a novel that you never read and never even heard of. As if, one by one, the memories that you used to harbor decided to retire to the southern hemisphere of your brain, to a little fishing village where there are no phones. Long ago, you watched the quadratic equation pack its bag. And even now, something else is slipping away, a state flower, perhaps, or the address of your uncle, or the capital of Paraguay. Whatever it is that you are struggling to remember, it is not poised on the tip of your tongue, nor lurking in some obscure corner of your spleen. It has floated away down a dark mythological river, and so no wonder you rise in the middle of the night to look up the date of a famous battle. No wonder the moon in the window seems to have drifted out of a love poem that you used to know by heart. You know, 20 years ago, I fell in love with this poem 20 years ago. And when I first heard it, I don't think I understood it half as well as I do today. And yet, mild signs of normal aging are not the same as clinical frailty, according to geriatric physician Rachel Boudard. Clinical frailty is a measurable clinical syndrome that involves a decrease in your body's resilience, your resilience to the stress that is part of everyday life, your resilience to injury. Suddenly injuries take longer to heal, to illnesses. All of those things, over time, they add up, and they do wear down our bodies a bit. But if our body begins to have a hard time coping with those, we may see a gradually shifting ratio of good days to bad days. The person still has both good days and bad days, but there can be a gradual decline in the number of good days, and that is clinical frailty when it gets pretty far out. Dr. Boudard says frailty does not come to everyone, and it can sometimes be prevented or managed by self-care, things like exercise, sleep, diet, getting medical care for health problems, and, here's my favorite, by maintaining meaningful relationships. Now, from the perspective of faith, how do we reconcile these difficulties that begin to happen in our bodies as time goes on? How do we reconcile those with the idea of a loving God who's calling us to life? Well, let's start here. Our God is all about life. As Bruce read for us from John 1, Rose read for us from John 1, what has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people, every single person, that gift of life. You know, when I was a child, I loved to look for woolly caterpillars. Do you know what those are? They're the fuzzy orange and black little ones like this. They won't hurt you at all. At least that's what my dad told me, and I believed my dad. But they are busy little creatures. And they are actually very happy to come and sit on your hand if you invite them. And once in a while, if something frightens them, instead of scurrying around up and down bushes, they curl up into a ball and they pretend to be dead. Have you ever seen one do that? Yeah. See, the woolly caterpillar fans are right here, and they're nodding at me. They're saying, yep, this is true. When they do that, when they're rolled up like that, what you have to do is you have to watch them for quite a while to look for signs of life. Things like waving their head, they wave their head in an interesting way, or scurrying across the ground. And when I would finally see them move again, I would be so relieved. Oh my gosh, yes. For human beings, there are also signs of life, aren't there? And the signs of life are actually much more numerous, but they're also more subtle. Now, when a baby is born, we're looking for signs of life right away, aren't we? And we want to hear that amazing cry. We want to see that baby moving and breathing, and that those are the starting signs of life. But as people age, we might look for other signs of life, not just moving, but actually doing something in that moving. So it's not random, but rather we're using our movement, our energy to accomplish things. We're doing things. Signs of life, making choices, learning from our experiences, building relationships with other people, and also relationships with God. So aging can impinge upon some of these signs of life, and we see it. And so sometimes our aging life can feel like a balancing act. And we have on the one side our aches and our pains and our forgetfulness. But you know what balances that and makes it all worthwhile? What's on the other side? It's the life experiences that we have that actually help us, because we've accumulated a bunch of them. They help us when we have to weather a storm, right? They can be helpful in making better choices. They can be helpful in helping us to find our way, or maybe we can even help someone else find our way, find their way. So our greatest learnings, they come out of our most difficult experiences. Blech. But it's true. So we don't know why that prophet Anna, why she decided to stay in the temple all the time from the time her husband died until she was 84 years old, and they'd only been married 7 years. So what was it? We don't know. I suspect there was more to the story. I suspect there was some additional difficulties in her life that led her to say, I need to be in the temple. So here's the thing I wonder, what else was she doing all those years in the temple? If she's anything like most of you who spend a lot of your days in the church, right, in God's house, she had plenty to do. In addition to fasting and praying, you know, you can pray while you're packing sack lunches, right? You can pray while you're sitting with someone and telling them something that they need to hear, or offering a word of encouragement. So we don't know. None of that story's in there. But I have my suspicions that by the time she was 84, she had, to balance what the aging felt like, she had some experiences that could make a difference. And the same thing for Simeon. He had a lifetime of relationship with God. He had learned to listen for God's whisperings in his life all those years. And that had prepared him to recognize the Son of the living God when he was right in front of him. The theologian Jürgen Moltmann, who is one of my, you know, one of my favorites that I studied in seminary, and I turned back to him because he wrote about hope. And he died on June 3rd. He just died. And you know how old he was? 98. And he had still been writing books till very near the end. And one of his last books was one that I really loved, which was called In the Beginning is the Ending. It's sort of like that song of promise, in our end is our beginning. Yeah. So he learned to focus on hope because he found himself when he was in his, well, actually he was in his 18 to 20s, because that was World War II, and he was a soldier, and he found himself taken prisoner, and he felt that he was completely God-forsaken, when he was forced to understand the things that the country he was fighting for had been doing, because he was a German soldier. He was from Germany. And he was drafted, right? And he felt godforsaken. And then he read a Bible, and he was changed by God after he read about Jesus there on the cross. And that moment when Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And in that moment, he thought, ah, here is a Savior who can understand me. And then when he came to the resurrection, ah, here is a God I can trust my future to. Moltmann saw that Christian hope comes from the power of resurrection. And it is hope that gives us the energy that we need to live. It's the prospect of having a future that makes our heart beat faster, that empowers us to choose life, to love again, to try again. So this future with hope is for children, it's for adults, it's for seniors, and it is also for the clinically frail, and it is also even for those who are dying. Psalm 139 reminds us that there is nowhere that we can be that God is not already there. Listen to just a few verses out of that psalm. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, which was a polite word for another place, if I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and I settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me fast. And then I go down and skip some verses and I come to my favorite verse in the entire 139th Psalm. I come to the end. I am still with you. We realize that we don't know at all what it's going to look like when this life ends and we move to the next, but we know that Jesus said there would be a place for us. We will be near God, with God, safe in God. In our grief groups that Deacon Loretta and I have been leading, and we now have some other folks that have volunteered to come on board with us. In those grief groups, we share memories of our loved ones. And somehow, it is as if our loved ones are there with us. We can, in our hearts, see them and hear them as we tell the stories of our life with them. My friend, Scripture says love never ends. It makes sense to me that just as the love of God never ends, so neither does the love between us and those we hold dear. So whether it's our moms, our dads, our siblings, our spouses, our partners, our friends, all of those, that love never ends. The love that we can still feel, that is the most important sign of life. The living God calls us to life. Whether we are born or whether we die, God's nearness to us makes us living always and everywhere. Amen.
As we enter into a time of prayer, it's sometimes the worship host will come and tell a little cute story before we do the prayer. And I had a really cute story that I was going to tell this morning, but I forgot what it was, so I guess that figures with the theme. We have two prayer quilts today, one for Ginger Van Blaricombe and one for Don Thompson. Our altar flowers today are for Don and Sue Urban celebrating their 60th wedding anniversary. And the second greatest thing about that is the fact we get cake. So, hey, have cake. I also want to say a couple prayers for Anna Atarian. She's going to school tomorrow. She's going to go down to Cincinnati. She's going to be a Cincinnati Bearcat. She's leaving for school tomorrow. I heard she's a little bit nervous about it, and we need to do a couple extra prayers for her. So if we could do that, that would help out as well. So let's go to an attitude of prayer. Gracious and glorious God, we come before you this morning humble, but anxious and eager to learn all the things you have in store for us at this time. We wait in eager anticipation of all the wonderful things we have coming into our lives. We know that through you and the Holy Spirit, our lives are touched as they can be touched by no other, to give us peace, to give us hope, to give us reassurance that you are there for us, helping us, leading us, guiding us to find a better way. Just as Jesus asked those to follow him and become disciples, we know that we are called to spread your word and help make disciples of those in our lives, to help them live better lives, living by your word, with your teaching, and surrounded by your love. Lord, we ask blessings on all those in need of you at this time. We especially ask blessings on our prayer quilt recipients, Ginger and Don, that they find the strength in knowing that with your word and with you beside them, that they can get through whatever it is they need to get through. Those suffering from physical ailments, mental disorders, financial problems, relationship problems, and those that are just out there looking, seeking, wondering, waiting, not sure what their next step might be, not sure where they're headed, and not sure which way to turn. We want to guide them that the next step that they take may be blessed by you into a life full of your blessings. We pray for our leaders, Lord, the world leaders, the national, state, and local leaders, that the decisions they make in this world are tempered with your love, guided by your hand, and blessed by your word. Help them to see so that the decisions that they make today may be the best for all of us. Now, in this time of silent prayer and meditation, we ask for your ear to hear our concerns, our thoughts, and ask your blessings on our problems, as well as to hear our praises of you for all the glorious things that you have provided for us in our lives. When the disciples left their families and their lives behind, they spent much time learning from Jesus. But when they asked Jesus how to pray, he said, "Pray like this." And now we repeat the prayer he taught his disciples, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." This time we would like to call the ushers forth for our tithes and offering. If you're new or you're visiting, just consider your presence here a gift for all of us. We'll catch you next time. If you're a regular member, dig deep. Make sure that you give generously so that John and Lindsay know that we did a good job when they come back. Amen.
Thank you.
Gracious Lord, we bring our offerings in gratitude for all you have given us. Lead us in using these resources to build a community of faith and love that will grow disciples for you. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
My friends, go out into the world to live the life that you have been gifted with its joys and with its sorrows, and receive this blessing, which is the oldest blessing in the Bible. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace, now and forevermore. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.